We're glad you're here this morning. It's the first Sunday of the new year. New beginnings. God is the God of new beginnings. Many years ago, I would look forward to the new year, knowing that there's a freshness to it, new opportunities. We should look at every day like that. A new day is a new beginning, new opportunities. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. What does this year hold for us? What does this year hold for us as a body? Things won't be the same. Things will be new. New opportunities. New opportunities to love. New opportunities to forgive. New opportunities to not get frustrated or discouraged. New moments to seek the Lord. New opportunities to hear from the Lord. To see things that we've never seen before. To see God at work. To see hearts changed. New babies. I heard Chris told me with Sarah's due, and her boys are excited and they hope they have a little sister. How exciting. I hope she does too. Let's pray. Lord, our dependence is upon you. We need to hear from you this morning, and I pray that you would speak to each one of us. Lord, your love for us is so great, we cannot measure it. You have moved to great lengths to draw us to you. God, please continue to draw us to you. We need you. We need you, oh God. Father, open up your word to us. Help us to see more of who you are and how you want us to be walking and living in this life. Thank you that you've not left us to our own selves, our own devices, but it's your desire to change us and conform us to the image of Jesus. And God, that is our desire as well. So we pray for your grace to do so. We hope in your mercy and trust in you to accomplish good and mighty things. Lord, in some sense, as we've already prayed, we commit this whole year to you, for you to advance your kingdom in us and through us for your glory. Would you do so for everyone that would stand in this pulpit this year to bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus Christ? And Lord, may it start with me this morning. Thank you for your grace. Your word, we lift it up to you, and we are grateful. We're grateful that you have left your word with us. And we just pray again for your help this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. As you know that I've been speaking on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the gift, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, not the gifts. There's a distinction. And walking through the fruit, we've gone through love, joy, peace, and now we're on long-suffering patience. And why? Why is it good for us to go through these things? God has and wants from us, as he has placed his Holy Spirit within us, he really wants to bring forth things that communicate who he is. And by doing so, by bringing the Holy Spirit, giving us the Holy Spirit, he will then cultivate us by giving us his grace, things that would be clear expressions of who he is, so others can see who he is in us. And so in Hebrews 1, you don't have to turn it there. You can mark it down. But if you want to, you can turn. Hebrews 1:1, it says, long ago, in many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he, Jesus, created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So here we have God who is without beginning, he's without end, he's the eternal one, he's the self-existing one. God sends his son, and he's the exact imprint of who God is. And we look in the scriptures, we see the life of Jesus, we see the moments he loved, the moments he forgives, the moment that he gave his life, the moment that he says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he'll speak of me and the things, and he'll bring back the remembrance. In fact, he'll convict you of your sin. He'll teach you all things. And so the very exact imprint of who God is dies for us. That's sobering. My sin, perfect God, he dies for me. And in the life of Jesus, he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to come and he's going to be in you. He's the exact imprint as well of Jesus and of God. He dwells within us. Do I understand it? Not always, not fully, not to the depth of who God is. Am I learning? Yep. Am I growing? Yep. Have I got it figured out? Nope. Well, that Holy Spirit inside of us wants to well up in us the very nature of who God is. I want to love. I want to love like God. I want that to flow in me and through me. I can't love you apart from the Spirit of God loving me and showing me how to love. Because usually my love is very selfish and want rather than give. And then the peace of God, the peace that passes all understanding. And then the joy of the Lord being welled up because my name's been written down in the Lamb's. You know, those things, God is all love, God is all peace, he's all joy. And he wants it in us, flowing out of us, and it becomes fruit for others to be able to partake of and see and witness because God's in you. So we come to the point of the area of long suffering or patience. Oh my. I'm growing in this whole fruit of the Spirit, and I come to this one, and I'm convicted heavily because it's far from me. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Going through this preparation and study, and I hope that I hope the Holy Spirit really makes some things clear for us this morning. So over in Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, there's two words here that is used, and I'm going to just start here. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Now there's two words there. If you have a KJV, it says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power with all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Okay? If you go over to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, ESV says patience and KJV says long suffering. Now, I'm not, God is, I'm not saying one's better than the other. Okay? What I want to bring out here is, There's a word for patience in the Greek that has two words, okay? Greek, when you start digging in the scriptures and you figure out, okay, why do you say that? Why do you say that? Why does he change it here? Yeah, and I'm not a Greek scholar. I get myself more in trouble than I help myself. And so the whole concept with Greek, because if you look at the word love, love really is, there's four types of love when you look at the Greek. So the Greek has a more intricate language than the English. Well, I love you. Well, what way do you love me? You know, do you love me with the perfectness of Jesus Christ, or do you love me for selfish reasons because I just gave you a piece of candy? Okay? Or is there a depth to that? So there's two words that come out with the whole word of patience. Oh my. Yeah. One is macrothumia, and that's 14 times in the New Testament, Greek word. And then the other word is hupomone, and that's 32 times in the New Testament. Well, one deals with the whole essence of Galatians 5:22. Let's turn there for a second. Which is the fruit of the Spirit that God's asking us to flow from our lives. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Okay? And I jumped over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, to say that there's actually two words. So there's a patience, but there's also a long-suffering. There's a difference between those two words in the Greek. Okay? One has association out of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, that associates itself. And let me read this to you. It's used 14 times in the New Testament, and in the New Testament, sometimes it's used as patience, and sometimes it's used as long-suffering. And it's a self-restraint of the mind before it gives room to action or passion. It's a forbearance. There's a long-suffering. The person who has power to avenge themselves yet refrains from the exercise of this power. It is patience with respect to persons. It's also associated with mercy. How many times have we heard mercy this morning? Now, the other word that's used for patience is 32 times in the New Testament, is to abide or be patient, endurance to things and circumstances. It's associated with hope and refers to a quality that does not surrender to the circumstances or succumbs to the trials that we're facing. So one of the words that's used in the Greek deals with people. The other one deals with the trials and the circumstances that we face. So when Paul said that he's praying for people there in Colossians, the people of Colossae, that they would be strengthened with all might according to God's glorious power, strengthened with all might, under all patience, the circumstances they face, and long-suffering, the people that they have to endure and forbear. Does that make sense? Are you with me? Okay. God's desire in this whole concept of the fruit of the Spirit. See, God doesn't have to be patient in circumstances. He creates them, and he allows them to happen. But he's long-suffering towards us as people, as people. How so? He's very patient in the sense that with us as people, the day that you came to Jesus Christ, up until that moment, God was patient and long-suffering, waiting for you to recognize his Son. It says turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. Our Heavenly Father is so patient You know, there's a cry in my heart at times, God, why are you waiting for the return of Jesus Christ? It's because he's long-suffering. In 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, they will say, where's the promise of his coming? Ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact that the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. And that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient. That word patient is that one dealing with people. God is very patient, waiting. And look what it says. Patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all would reach repentance. God is long-suffering, waiting for his creation to come and repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. God was waiting almost 18 full years, waiting for me from the moment that I was born into this world, almost 18 years. He was long-suffering, very patient, till I came to the realization that I needed my Savior and turning to him. Now, if we turn over to turn back over to Peter in the same 1 Peter. Marked in my notes. Someone help me, if you would, in reference to Noah. 1 Peter 3, is it? 3:9? Is it 2 Peter 3:9? I'm so sorry. This isn't normally me. Okay, 2 Peter 3:9. I'm sorry, I had the wrong... Boy, I need you in my life. I really do. I really do need you in my life. Thank you. Okay. Let's start in verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us back to God, being put to death in the flesh, that he made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience, long-suffering, patience, same word that's used in the fruit of the Spirit for us, waited in the days of Noah. While the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight people, were brought safely through the water. You see, the long suffering of God during that time, because when you go back to Genesis and read, that says sin was rampant. It was continually, evil was continually upon the face of the earth. And God was getting to the point and says, all right, whoosh, destruction is coming. But there in the verse of chapter 6, it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God's at a point where he was being long suffering, waiting almost 120 years for Noah to build the ark. Then he brought forth destruction. And so God has the ability to come to the point of saying, enough's enough. And then he brings about judgment. The Holy Spirit within us, God doesn't give us that freedom to bring about the judgment upon each other. In some sense, a final judgment. That's left to himself. Though yet we think within our own mind, our own heart, that I want to pass judgment on you. God expects us to show mercy towards each other. That's why Paul says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place under wrath. Why? Because God will be the one to bring about judgment. He wants me to show mercy. Jesus said in the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, he said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Do you need mercy? Yes, I need mercy. Do you like to show mercy? I don't like to show mercy. I usually want judgment. God, smoke them. He says, why? I should smoke you. And he doesn't say that. But if I got what I deserved, I wouldn't be here. I get more. When somebody asks me, how you doing? A lot better than I deserve. Guys at work don't understand that. What are you talking about? You deserve a lot. Not compared to what God. If I got what I deserved, I deserve hell. We all do. And yet it's the mercy and grace of God that we have what we have and we get eternal life. But the long-suffering of God, he's very patient with us. He's very caring for us. He loves us so much that he disciplines us when we're willing to disobey. And we do. He chastens us. He spanks us to correct us, to get us going in the right direction. That's not normal for us to flow with being patient towards each other. Rob shared this morning his own impatience towards the elders. He was honest, being very transparent, humbled himself before us this morning. And yet God is doing a work in him and saying, you know what, I can see God at work here. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit's stirring within him, and he's beginning to produce that fruit of the Spirit in the heart of Rob. Yeah, I can see. And what's exciting is this whole concept of allowing the fruit of the Spirit to flow from our lives. We're all growing. Have we got it all figured out? We don't. Be honest with ourselves. We don't have it all figured out. Every one of us is a work in progress. The elders are. I am. You already saw that this morning. I told my wife this morning, by the end of the year, there's some things I want in my life. Okay, what am I going to do about it? There are things I think God wants in my life. I have somewhat of a responsibility before the Lord to say, God, I want this. You know what? I want the whole concept of the fruit of the Spirit to be flowing freely from my life. I really do. I want to be long-suffering. I want to be patient. Before my mom passed away back in 1992, which had been 26 years ago, that last year of her life, her and I became very close. Up until that time, I was not close to my mom. Some of you know my testimony, but we got close. As I was walking with my mom the last year of her life, my mom had 5 kids, she said, you are the most patient of all my children. And I looked at her, and I said, you got to be kidding me. I'm impatient. I want things now. And you know what? We live in a society that, you know, we got instant potatoes, we got instant milk, we got microwaves that we can have food in 5 minutes or 2 minutes if it's, you know. We've cultivated something that I want it now. You know, this next generation is expecting everything to take place and they want things now. They want something that somebody has worked for 20 or 30 years, and they want it within a year. They don't recognize what it took for that person for 30 years to get what they got, and they think it's instant gratification. That's not the Spirit of Christ. And that Holy Spirit that lives within us, I want a godly wife. I think I have a godly wife. But you know what? When I married her, I wanted a godly wife. And I wanted it instantly. I wanted her to submit instantly. I wanted to have children instantly. I wanted to be the perfect mother instantly. It didn't happen. It was a work in progress. It's interesting. And she wanted, look, let's be honest. She wanted a godly husband. She had a little boy. She married a little boy. She really did. She still married at times to a little boy. My wife's very long-suffering. And if you would be honest with you, your wife's very long-suffering. We don't deserve our wives. And truthfully, wives, you don't deserve your husband. They're a gift from the Lord. God has given it to you. And yet we have to walk in the fruit of the Spirit to be long-suffering or patient with our mates. We really do. Come home. Honey, is dinner ready? Well, honey, I thought you was going to be home in a half hour. Well, I'm hungry now, not in a half. How's the fruit of the Spirit going to be showing? Right? God allows those situations to occur in our lives so that we would be walking in the Spirit. Okay, are you going to rely upon the flesh and allow the grumbling of your tummy to over, honey, I want food now? Or are you going to say, honey, that's okay. Whenever time we eat, if we eat before 12 o'clock, that'll be fine. You know, as long as we get something to eat before we go to bed. Or how about my wife, my poor wife? She knows when we were first couple of years of marriage, she knew if I got with these three guys from our church, I was going to be late. She knew it. She just knew it. And three godly men that I just wanted to be around, you know, guys like Ken or Earl or Scott or Dick, you know, guys that are, to me, just giants in the faith. And I wanted to learn. I wanted to learn about the Lord. I want to have conversations with Scripture. Well, what do you think about this? What do you think? You know, sharpen an iron, all that kind of stuff. And I never wore a watch. I don't wear a watch now. And, of course, back then you didn't have a phone, you know, and you get in the guy's garage, you ain't got no clock, and you start talking about the Lord, and all of a sudden it's an hour, two, hour and a half, and I get home, and she's got the dinner, and it's already burnt. You know, this is true. This happened many times in our marriage early on. She'd get so frustrated, discouraged with me, and rightly so. I say, honey, I'm so sorry. And I'd say, I'll try not to do it again. And I did it again. Over and over and over again. And finally got home. She'd say, it's all right. It'll be ready in about 10 minutes. But I didn't want to get it totally finished. The garlic bread's not in the oven yet. I just was concerned. You know, it'd take 10 minutes and we'll get it all set together. She got to the point, she said, I'm just glad you came home to me. It was never my thought not to ever come home. But then I got to learn I need to call her, you know. Long-suffering. Tell you another story. I got distracted. My wife was working at Eastern Michigan University, and right across the campus was an ice cream place. And I come from, she couldn't, we only one had one car, and I had to pick her up from work, and I was always on time picking her up from work. Well, this time, a couple times, she'd walk down the thing, walk down the street and meet me on a corner, because we just lived around the corner there. So this day, she anticipated, well, I'll be there, and I'll have her my ice cream cone. Chocolate chip mint. So I got distracted at work talking to a brother about Christ. So I was 15 minutes late picking my wife up. Summer, 80 degrees. You know where this is going. A waffle cone. She doesn't like chocolate chip mint. I pulled up. She's standing there. Ice cream. Dripping. All on her hand. Looking at me. Not so happy. And my heart sunk, you know. She surprised me with the ice cream. She never did it before. She loves me. She knew that that was my favorite ice cream. And she loved me. My wife has been so long-suffering towards me in our marriage because of things that I have done to not honor her. You see, she shows Christ to me in so many ways of how God is long-suffering towards us over and over and over and over again. 1988, I had hid sin in my life. No one knew about it. No one knew about it. I wronged a man. For 12 years, God was long-suffering, kept speaking to me about it. Need to deal with it. Need to deal with it. Need to deal with it. Till the time came when he put so much pressure on me to say, look, we can't go any farther here with our walk until you deal with this. It was ugly. My wife didn't even know. I repented. God gave me grace to repent. I may have shared some of this testimony with you, and I'm not going to go into the great detail, but I knew once I could tell my wife, and, you know, it grieved her. I told my kids, it grieved them. They had no clue. And I had wronged a man. I made it right. I went to him, make things right. He forgave me. You know, I was free. I was free from it. And I don't ever want to go back there again. I'd never want to try and hide something that no one doesn't know. Not only just God, I want to be totally free in my spirit before the Lord. But God was long patient, long suffering and patient towards me those 12 years and did not destroy me. And yet I deserved destruction. I deserved to be destroyed. And he did not, because it was his mercy that flowed from the throne of God, the heart of God for my life. You see, we really need to be very merciful towards each other. God expects that. Out of the fruit of the Spirit, this is one that would communicate more about mercy than the other ones. Now, do we get love because of mercy? Absolutely. Do we get joy because of mercy? Absolutely. But what needs to flow from our lives is mercy and not justice, not judgment. We want to take it. We want to take vengeance upon ourselves. We want to make things right. Hey, you just wronged me, and I want to make it right. Our judgment is not just. It is flawed. It is flawed. And it's usually flawed because we're very selfish individuals. And we don't realize that the very judgment by which we would put upon somebody else, we deserve ourselves. We do. And yet God in his mercy. I told Chris this morning, I said, why does God put up with me? Why? Because he loves me. Because he loves me. He loves me with a great love that he gave his son. Are you a merciful person? You know, we're told in Micah 6:8 that we're to love mercy. I want to love mercy. I really do. Are you a person who is quick to judgment? Do you want to avenge yourself? Do you want to get even with somebody? I'll get even with you. How patient are you with people? I didn't even go, and we don't have time to go there, but I'm an impatient driver. And I like my space in front of me. My car, that is. How do you react when people come and really disrupt your agenda? Do you show mercy? Do you show grace? Or are you quick to get angry, frustrated, discouraged, cut them off? Where are you at? It's the Holy Spirit in us that wants to change us. It really is. The Holy Spirit wants to bring forth things that we ourselves can't conjure up. When you find yourself in a situation, just like when my wife said, "I'm grateful you came home." She knew she couldn't change me. All she could do was change herself, change her heart, her response, still continue to love me, still continue to receive me. And yet, I can look back on that and know that she was very long-suffering towards her husband. She still is. And I'm grateful for it. Very grateful. And how about us? How about you? Are you long-suffering towards each other? Towards your husband, towards your wife, towards your kids? Towards your coworkers, your boss? Person at the grocery mart that you happen to be behind? People are needing to see the life of Christ from us. The fruit of the Spirit will do that as we walk in the Spirit and not yield to the deeds of the flesh or the works of the flesh. God alone can do that and cultivate that in you. Let's pray. Lord, again, as we confess to you that we need you, Lord, we do want to avenge, and we confess that that's not what your heart is for us. Lord, we want to love mercy, so would you teach us more of how to love mercy? Lord, we're so grateful that you are long-suffering towards us. Your mercy endures forever. You are slow to anger. You forbear. God, thank you for loving us with an everlasting love. Thank you for your kindness. And Lord, would you continue to help us to grow in this area of long-suffering, to be patient. Lord, for you've demonstrated a great deal to us how you are patient and long-suffering. Thank you for what you're going to do in the days ahead. We love you and we thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.